Isn't that a good song?
Big smile on your face, Heidi.
One of my favorite songs by AJ Croce. It's Right on Time. You're listening to the Thursday Morning Show on member-supported KAXE, KBXE. Over the past three decades, AJ Croce has established his reputation as a piano player and singer who pulls from a host of musical traditions. You might recognize that name, Croce. Yes, his dad was Jim Croce. This Sunday, AJ is at the Rife Center in Grand Rapids with Croce Plays Croce. We are so glad to have you with us this morning. Thanks for being here, AJ.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, where do we begin?
Yeah, where do you begin, for crying out loud?
I don't know. You choose.
So it took us about 10 minutes, because we're not mathematicians. We were trying to figure out how old you were when your father passed, and was that about 20? You were 24?
Oh, no. I was just a couple years old.
Oh,
he passed away in 73.
We got wrong.
Yeah, I really came to know him through his record collection and through all of the recordings, of course, that you folks know, but also the many recordings that he made around the house of covers of things that he was practicing to play and then songs that he was writing. So,
Well, AJ, before we get to you, we got to talk a little bit. So did you hear some stories about how your dad got his start? Was he in music when he was a kid? What's the story?
Well, you know, he grew up in, you know, first generation Italian-American in Philadelphia. And, you know, he grew up listening to R&B and jazz and rock and roll. Obviously, he's of the Beat generation. And so you know, he picked up on all of that stuff. You can hear the Lieber and Stoller influenced lyrics and the Jimmy Reed influence on something like Don't Mess Around with Jim or Kansas City from Lieber and Stoller. But the character songs, you know, that came from that sort of place. And then, of course, in college, at Villanova, he was part of a folk group, and he was part of the big folk scare of the early 1960s, late 50s, early 60s, but he didn't play professionally until the last, you know, 2 years of his life, maybe 18 months. He had a very, very short career. While he played music, since he was very young, it was more of something that he loved and wanted to do, but really wasn't able to.
Well, how was he discovered? I mean, just the last 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, three records in the last 2 years of his life, at last 18 months, to be exact. How was he discovered? You know, he had recorded an album with my mother. They were a duo in the 60s, and they recorded an album in 1967 for Capitol. And so there was a lot of that sort of folk tradition, a fair number of original songs, a couple of covers, but it didn't really do that well. So they moved to New York to try and make it. You know, one of his friends from Villanova was a producer and tried to get him some work, and he made friends with a lot of the folks in the Brill Building, which is, you know, his famous publishing house that was in the Brill Building in New York. And so, you know, he was doing some background singing, but, you know, he was mostly through that period of time was working odd jobs so that he could play music on the weekends, you know? So he took all kinds of jobs. You know, he was a teacher, he was a construction worker, he was a truck driver. You can read all that stuff. Wikipedia, I guess, you know?
Yeah, and jobs like that, I'm sure he has some songs in his head from those experiences he worked.
I think he was more interested in hearing the stories of the people he worked with and actually working, I think it was just this great experience in being able to, hear what the, older generation had gone through and what it was like. And, he made heroes out of all those folks. That was something that was really unique about his writing. From the music perspective, from some of the lyrics, you can hear the influence of different genres. But he had this ability to make heroes out of everyday people, whether it was someone working at a car wash or a roller derby queen or Speedball Tucker or Rapid Roy,
Oh, I forgot Roller Derby Queen. I played Roller Derby, so we played that a lot at our Roller Derby bouts, and we absolutely adored it. We're talking to A.J. Croce today. He's the son of Jim Croce. He's playing this Sunday at the Rife Center in Grand Rapids. Croce plays Croce. He is a singer-songwriter. He's had 25 years of touring himself. I think we have six albums of yours in our library here at KEXE. How many albums have you put out?
Good question. I think there's 10 or 11 now.
Okay, we've missed a few, but yeah.
Yeah, in the last 30 years, that's not bad.
So what does your dad's song, Time in a Bottle, mean to you?
I don't think we have enough time.
Yeah.
It means a lot, it means a lot personally, and it would be hard to touch on that emotionally. But from the other side of things, as a musician, as a writer, and then also as someone that has worked very hard to keep his legacy alive through publishing and making sure that the music is out there in the world, Time in a Bottle was the breakthrough, really, for him. Before Time in a Bottle, which he wrote in 71, he was... really wearing his influences on his sleeve, and that was a real breakthrough of originality for him. It was very unique. It was, pulling from some Elizabethan folk, and the counterpoint on guitar was really unique. And I think it was an emotional and really, heartfelt song. And I think that was the start. That was sort of the impetus of what inspired him in the next couple of years.
So when you're on stage, I hope to see it. Do you try and sing differently than your father?
I do sing differently than my father. I'm not trying to be an impersonator by any stretch.
Right.
I've had, 21 of my own top 40 singles, and I have my own voice, and have worked in all kinds of genres, and capacities, from being a writer, just a session piano player, playing guitar on stuff, singing for things, writing film music and television and so forth. So I am different, and I'm also, at this point, I'm 20 years older than my father.
Wow.
So, figure that one out. I'm my own grandpa. So my goal with this is for everyone to just have a lot of fun when they come and see the show. There are songs of his that I play very faithfully as far as the arrangement goes, and things that I have a little fun with, just as I think he would have done over the years. No one sticks to the original recording of their music. If you play a song every night, you find ways to make it fun every night. And so that requires some change and improvisation. And so the show is really, it's really fun to do, because I get to pay tribute to his music. I play my music, and then I really play the music that connects us. And there's so much that does. When I was about 33, 34 years old, I was listening to this recording. I was transferring one of his tapes to digital, and it was all these songs that I had played since I was about 12 years old. These are obscure songs: Fats Waller, You're Not the Only Oyster in the Stew, Bessie Smith, Pink Anderson. There was something by Jimmy Rogers. There was just, it was all over the map, but it sort of gave me chills. You know, these were songs that I had played in my style, you know, for most of my life. And there it was, him at like, you know, in his mid-20s, playing the exact same thing.
It's amazing to have that kind of relationship with him since you lost him when you were so young.
Well, yes, it is. Absolutely.
So, AJ, your dad music made heroes out of people. What does your music do?
I don't know. I think it's difficult to talk about your own music because it's really a matter of the people that are listening to it to tell you what they feel.
We just had a listener call and ask about the song "Hey Tomorrow."
Yes. About it?
I don't know. They just want to know something about it, where it came from, and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, I think it was first recorded as a duo. Mother and father wrote that. It was something that was, I think, originally on one of it was a Croce album, and that I'm sort of faltering here because there were a number of reissues of it over the years after he became well known, and so some are called Another Day, Another Town, and some are just called Croce, and anyhow, they worked on that in the late 60s, and then it ended up on one of his albums. There were a couple songs that carried over, you know, from that period. For the most part, everything he wrote was really in about a 8-month period of time. And that, because, you know, he recorded the first album, but he already had most of the second album written. So the first album, which celebrates its 50th anniversary next year, You Don't Mess Around With Jim, had the title track, had Operator, had Time in a Bottle, New York's Not My Home. I believe Hey Tomorrow is the last song on that album. And and so I had to grab one of the LPs to make sure. and so, you know, it was an interesting thing. The third and final album for ABC was, you know, the title track, I Got a Name. It was originally not even intended to be on the album. It was a song for a soundtrack for a movie about a race car driver. And it wasn't a song that he wrote. Huh. And so Gimbel and Fox wrote it. And so it was kind of fascinating how personal it was to him, how much it related to his own life and consequently to mine. Interestingly, I was asked by Dale Earnhardt Jr. to record that song for his retirement. Wow. Because it always meant a lot to him. So I went in with a group here in Nashville. It was for Goodyear. And it was for Dale Earnhardt Jr. And it was, in hindsight, more powerful than I expected.
Well, we are excited to have you coming to our community. That is AJ Croce. He's performing this Sunday at the Rife Center. You can get tickets at rifecenter.org. It's called Croce Plays Croce. Thank you so much for your time today. We look forward to seeing you Sunday.
Take care, folks.